I thought they did a great job finding songs about faith and work, didn't you? Yeah, that ain't an easy job. Yeah. So before we start with our scripture, I just want to reiterate what Dan brought up last week. James is not talking about, are we saved by faith or by works? That's not what this is. He's talking about the relationship between faith and works, okay? All right, so let's hit our scripture. We're in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and be fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone might say, well, you have faith, I have deeds. Okay, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there's one God? Good for you. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As a body without its spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Here's the thing, we do what we believe. All right? Here's what I believe. It's pretty useless by itself. This is actually a very useful tool, almost. Okay? Keep that in mind. Faith without action is dead. Abraham believed God. See, God had made Abraham a promise that he would build a whole nation, a numerous and prosperous and righteous nation from his son Isaac. So when he told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, Abraham still believed that promise. He believed in the nature of God, that God was powerful and God was good. Okay, he didn't just believe that God exists, he believed in God's nature. And for that reason, he acted on what God told him to do. He had belief that he acted on, and that was what made his righteousness, because we do what we believe. Jamie, could I have the first graphic? I've shown you this before. We used it in a different sermon. Okay. When do I believe in the zip line? You know, intellectually, I may believe that it's safe, and I see other people doing it, and I believe that I know where it goes. But when do I actually believe in the zip line? When I get on it and zip. Yeah, thank you. Mark Twain, being the smart aleck that he was, said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. Okay, well, he was being a smart aleck, but that's the way a lot of people feel about faith, is it's just trying to defy reality. But it's not. It's believing that God is who he says he is, that his power and love and goodness are real. Okay? But faith in God's goodness and reality is useless without actions to accompany it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 to 45. Jesus is summing up. He's already been talking, this is the sheep and the goats, the parable of the sheep and the goats, where he says, on judgment day, I'm going to separate the people who acted on their faith from the people who did not act on their faith. And he's summing this up. He's already said, those of you who did the good stuff, you go over here. But then he says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Yikes, didn't know you joined that club, did you? I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? He will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of these my children, you did not do for me. Faith without action is dead. Remember the dead body from last week? All right, it's dead. If I have wrong belief and act on it, we're taking belief out of this. We're just doing the actions here, okay? If I have wrong belief and act on it, my actions are unauthorized and not pleasing to God. Here's how that works, because we do what we believe, all right? If I believe that God is heavily into religion, that God really gets off on the sacrifices and the festivals and the calendar and all the little rules and doodads, if I believe that, I'm going to wind up doing things wrong and not valuing what God values. Okay? If I believe in religion instead of believing in God, I'm going to wind up doing stuff that displeases God. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 3, says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifices. To do righteousness and justice, because that's in line with who God is. That's in line with right belief. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 says, do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. But believing in religion instead of believing in God leads us astray. Think about the Christians who went to other countries and instead of just sharing God's goodness, they enslaved the people there. That happened lots of times in lots of places. Why? Because those Christians were believing in religion and the power of religion instead of believing actually in God. It was all about having power. What about if I believe that God has chosen my tribe and not yours? What am I going to do? I'm going to puff myself up. I'm going to grab power. I'm going to try to keep you in your place. What if I believe that God is impressed with what I do? Well, I may wind up on the street corner preaching the good news, but I'm not preaching it to save you and help you. I'm preaching it to puff myself up and get some notches on my evangelism belt. Okay? If I believe wrong things, if I act without faith, if I'm just doing, it's nothing. It's not good for anything but you know? It's not great. If I'm a Christian influencer online, and what I believe is that I really dig being famous, and that's important, I'm not going to take care of the people who are following me. I'm just going to rack up followers. If I'm a Christian artist, and I'm really into doing, you know, the big sculptures and the giant murals and the whatnots for the great big churches, excellent. But if I believe that it's actually all about me and my fame and that's what I'm worshiping, then I'm not going to allow my work to be cheaply reproduced for the masses to be able to afford. Because I don't want to feed you, I just want to feed my fame. Right? Actions without faith, dead. Dead, dead, dead ski. Not just dead, but dangerous. I bring that up because even common garden variety faithless action is dangerous and dead. Okay? Here's a yeah but that comes up for me when I'm thinking about this. Yeah, but what about sincere Christians who are doing wrong things because their leaders are corrupted and godless? How are they supposed to know? What about if those priests were off in the, you know, southern Arizona converting the heathens, and they thought they were doing the right thing, but they weren't because they were following orders that were not godly, that were action without faith? How are you supposed to know? Well, Jesus cared a lot about that question. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23, he says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." What do you think the fruit is he's talking about? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, we know that. The fruit of God. God's character, God's power and love manifesting itself in us. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And here's the one that really puts my neck hairs up. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Just claiming to be Christian ain't gonna cut it. "Only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven, who believes in God and acts in God, does God's will. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Didn't we conquer those nations in your name? Didn't we put them down in your name? Didn't we hate the evil people that, you know, are not of our tribe in your name?' I will say to them plainly, 'I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers.'" That is not the greeting you want. Faith and action are the same thing. Okay? Here's Wheezy's little craft project. Here's how it works. Because we do what we believe. Faith and action go together. They are the same thing. It's not this one or that one. They are the same thing. This is the useful tool that helps us to do faithful work in God, in His power, in His nature. It's not one or the other. It's, yeah, faithful work done in God's name. Because we do what we believe. Could I have the second graphic, Jamie? Here's what this looks like. We've seen this one before, too. The poor widow in the synagogue giving her last half penny, she does not look like she's giving it out of fear, does she? She doesn't look like somebody told her, "You've got to give or God will condemn you." She looks like she loves the temple and loves the Lord and wants to give Him everything she's got and trusts Him to take care of her, doesn't she? Yeah, because we do what we believe. Plainly, that woman believes that God is good and God is powerful and God loves her. That's how she's able to act faithfully. Thank you. So what about faith? God's gift of faith is also the gift of work. Right? Faith and work go together. God gives us both. Here's how it goes. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. It is by grace that you've been saved through faith. All right? That's part one. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that nobody can boast. Our doing is not for bragging. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Not only is faithful action part of faith, but God's whole intention from the very beginning was to give us the gift of being able to know Him and believe in Him and to do work in His name. Work that's all about love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and goodness. And yeah, that's our work. Faithful action bears good fruit. Most of us here are not old enough, a few of us are, to remember what an iron lung was. Back in the days when polio was a thing, people could wind up completely paralyzed and they had to live in a big steel can to breathe. Couldn't do anything but lie there and stare at the ceiling. Even in an iron lung, you can do faithful work and complete the stuff that God prepared ahead of time for you to do. What can you do there? You can pray. You can speak well to the nurses and caregivers that come to clean your can, right? You can do works of faith even in an iron lung. I have known more than one person with severe mental illness, I'm talking like schizophrenia level, whose faith in God was sincere. A little bit crazy because, you know, their minds weren't working all that great. But their faith in God was sincere. And the work that they did in God's name was effective. Crazy, but effective. My heart was touched and changed sometimes just through their willingness to give me a kind word, try to help, tell me a crazy story that they thought would cheer me up, whatever. It was effective work, and it bore the fruit of love and patience and kindness and peace and joy and da-da-da-da-da. Crazy as a bag of cats, right? But they did what God called them to do and with the brain that they had, and it was effective. So faithful action bears good fruit. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. Okay, because we do what we believe. If I believe that God is all good, all the time, all powerful in every situation, all loving, even me, even those other people, my actions will be fruitful in God's name. Does that make sense? Yeah, of course. Duh. Because we do what we believe. Abraham's faith that God would keep his promise and his daring to act on that faith in the face of the obvious facts, that's what matured his faith. Because there were times when Abraham chickened out on acting on his faith. But he grew up. God walked him through that. He grew up to where he could say, Lord, whatever. Even if you ask me to do the scariest thing you can think of, I trust you. His faith bore fruit. It was out of that act that not only was Isaac equipped to bear a whole nation of people, but we got to see how God made that happen. Remember the ram in the bushes? Right? God can step in when we act faithfully because we do what we believe. I told everybody this is going to be short today because there's really not a whole lot to say about this, but I do want to leave you with one thought. One of the common beliefs that we have to struggle against is it doesn't make any difference what I do. The problems are too big, too complicated. What I do isn't going to make any much difference. And if that's what I believe, what am I going to do? Nothing. Yeah, I'm going to be a couch potato, or I'm going to go out and grab some toys or whatever. So I want to leave you with this. If we believe that God has cut out for us work for us to do in his name to bear his fruit, then we'll do whatever's in front of us. I'm going to tell a little story here to close that some of you have already heard because it's been out on the internet for a long, long time. But I love this story because this is what we do when we believe that whatever work God puts before us to do is effective. Here's the story. A beachcomber lives on the beach, and after a big hurricane storm, he went out one morning and there were thousands of starfish that had been washed up on the beach. Thousands of them, all the way, you know, miles down the beach. And here's the problem. A starfish moves very, very slowly. If you've ever watched, you know, the nature programs, those are really speeded up when the starfish is like, you know, that's like 500 times speed. And they can't live out of water. So these thousands and thousands of starfish are doomed out here. So the beachcomber's going along, and he picks up a starfish, and he throws it out to sea. And he picks up a starfish, and he throws it out to sea. And he's going down the beach just picking up starfish and throwing them out to sea. And one of his neighbors comes out and says, "Dude," I can't really do surfer dingo, but he's like, "Dude, there's millions of these things. You can't give it up. You can't make a difference." And the beachcomber bent down and picked up a starfish and threw it out to sea, and he said, "Made a difference to that one." Yeah. Keep on keeping on. Do the work that God laid before you because you believe in who He is. Amen? All right. Lord, thank you so much for giving us the ability to believe in you, in your nature, in your goodness. Thank you for cutting out work just for us to do. Give us power to do it. Amen.